I love Lucy. Just want to do a quick poll. Who's here heard of Lucy?
Only because
of me? Okay. Who's heard of Lucy not because of me? Anyone? No one. Okay. How about Cold Fusion? Anybody remember Cold Fusion?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody used Cold Fusion?
I'm not a scientist.
That's a different kind of Cold Fusion.
Okay.
I imagine that everybody is familiar with the HTML, yes?
Yeah.
JavaScript?
Yep.
Okay, so you can use Lucy like in, by tomorrow you can know how to do it because it's if you know these things, you can learn it very, very quickly. So, what is Lucy? Lucy is a rapid application development platform. And the platform consists of the server, the language, and a framework. The framework provides a lifecycle and a bunch of other features. It is implemented as a JSP servlet, and because of that, it runs inside a servlet container, and the best servlet container in the world, as everybody knows, is Tomcat. So that's the connection here. It's a very mature platform, but it has a lot of modern features. So the fact that it's mature doesn't mean that it's old. You get the power of Java, but it's very simple to use. And it compiles to Java bytecode. So again, you have the whole stack of a JVM, servlet container, etc. It's JSR 223 compliant, which means that you can run it in script mode and create a script instead of bash using that code. And Lucy is free and open source. So, a little bit of history. In 1995, there was a product called Cold Fusion. It was created by the LERP Corporation, and it became very, very popular very, very fast because it was very powerful and very simple to use to build web applications. So many Fortune 500 companies and government agencies adopted it. It had only one problem, and the problem is that it was a commercial product and it was very, very expensive. So these are the only ones who could afford it, pretty much. A few years later, LERP was purchased by Macromedia, and in version 6, in 2002, Cold Fusion was rewritten as a Java servlet. At about the same time, Rilo was created as a student project by Michael Offner, who's based in Switzerland. And a couple of years later, him and his friend Gert Franz established Rilo as a product, as a commercial product that was competing with Cold Fusion. Macromedia was purchased by Adobe, and since then Adobe owns Cold Fusion, the Cold Fusion brand and the product. And the Rilo server, which was created by Michael and Gert, was released as open source software in 2008. In 2015, there was a bit of an attempt for a hostile takeover, where people who invested in the Rilo server and the company behind the Rilo server wanted to close source it. So we said, goodbye Rilo, hello Lucy, we forked the project, and we just left them behind. I joined at about 2008 as a user at first, and then as a committer, and afterwards as a member of the team, the equivalent of the PMC. It's not called PMC, but it's the equivalent. So I've been doing software for quite some time, done a lot of B2B, B2C, I'm an open source advocate. I love software. I love Tomcat. I love Lucy, obviously, the title of the talk is. I love Postgres. These are probably my favorite products. And help organizations save money and improve their performance and scalability by using FOSS and doing training for them. Okay. A couple of terms. CFML stands for Cold Fusion Markup Language. This is the language that the Cold Fusion server runs, and also Lucy. They run that language. So we make a distinction between Cold Fusion as a product from Adobe and CFML as a language which is supported by both engines. CFScript is a more modern syntax that came about 10 years ago, a bit more than 10 years ago. And a couple of terms within the Lucy realm. is that when we say Lucy server or Lucy server configuration, we're referring to the single instance that's running inside the server container, inside Tomcat. Whereas when we say Lucy web, we mean any web context. So one server might have multiple web contexts, and you can configure them on different levels. So that's why we make some sort of a distinction. I'm going to get deeper into it in a bit. Okay, so setting up Lucy in Tomcat is as easy as 1, 2, and that's it. 1, copy the Lucy jar into Catalina-based lib. 2, configure the CFML servlet. The easiest way is to just copy the web.xml and drop it in webinf. But in general, all it does, it defines a servlet class. Over there. And then it does servlet mapping. Usually we map .cfc and .cfm. And as we've seen in the presentation yesterday, some people do .htm and other things to obfuscate their server, even though it's not foolproof. Optionally, you can configure the REST servlet, but if you take the WebXML from step 2, it's already there, so you don't really need to do anything. It's not an additional step. So CFML is an HTML-like tags, similar to JSP. Some of them require attributes, some of them require body, some don't. And the namespace is CF, so all of the tags that starts with that namespace, and it's actually configurable because we, at some point, we toyed with having a different dialect that didn't have the CF, so it is configurable. But in the standard default, anything that starts with CF is processed by the CFML engine, by Lucy in this case. It's not case sensitive, and it's dynamically typed. So you can define a variable that will be numeric, and then assign the same variable a date object or a map or whatever, and it will just handle it fine. Comments are similar to as in HTML, but they have 3 dashes. So if you put 2 dashes in your code, it will still be outputted to the response stream. If it's with 3, it's a CFML comment and it will be ignored and pretty much swallowed. You will not see it. Expressions that are wrapped within the pound signs, which apparently are called octothorpes, I'm sure everybody knew, are evaluated. So if you do a low, if you write in a expression that is evaluated a low and name in pound signs, name is evaluated and whatever that evaluates to is outputted. Another example here is showing a function output of a date format with a mask. The masks are the same as Java because, again, everything is very tightly, because it runs in Java and it's written in Java, wherever we can do it in the Java way, we do it in the Java way. The escape character for the octothorpe is another pound sign that also goes for string. So if you use a string, and by the way, string can be either double quote or single quote, but they have to match. And if you want to escape them, you just use the same character again. So 2 pound signs would escape the thing, and it will not be evaluated, it will become 1. If you want to write a block with so that everything inside will be evaluated, everything that has the octothorpes will be evaluated, you just wrap it with a CF output tag, and then this will evaluate this variable plus 1 and output it accordingly. CF script is more like JavaScript. So it has less typing, less boilerplate. It's obviously more maintainable. And there is a simple way to use tags in CF script. It's a simple kind of a method or system, I don't know what to call it. You just remove the less than CF and the greater than sign. And if the tag has body, then you put, you wrap it with curly braces. So this is an example of a tag that's called CF file, action read, the variable name that it will, that the operation will evaluate to will be file contents, and we pass an attribute path. I'm sure everybody understands what this will do. To write it in CF script, we remove this part, remove that part, and in this case there is no body, so we just close it with semicolon, which is optional, but it obviously makes code easier. Now, many tags, we have a lot of tags and a lot of functions that are built in, and many times you can do the same thing in different ways, because first there was a tag, but then we decided why, it's not only us, by the way. Many times we followed the Adobe product because we want to be compatible with them. And the reason is that many Adobe users are switching to Lucy over the years, and in recent years more than ever. So we always try to make it easy for them to switch to Lucy, and by maintaining a high level of compatibility, we achieve that. So in this case, you can just use the built-in function file read, and this will do pretty much the same as the tag, but this is a function format. The Lucy admin, we have a user interface. I can actually show it. This is the Lucy admin. It has a lot of settings. And as I mentioned earlier, we have the Lucy server and the Lucy web. So when you go to the URI /lucy/admin/server.cfm, you're obviously on the server configuration, which sets the defaults to all the web context. So if you go to a web context, the web context is determined by the context that the servlet container provides. So if you have multiple web contexts, servlet contexts, according to the way that Tomcat will evaluate this URI, in this case it's localhost 8080, that's how it knows which web context you configure. Anything that's not configured in the web context is configured, is kind of funneled down from the server configuration. There's a lot of options, so I'm not going to go into them. But in general, everything is also saved as an XML because the web UI pretty much just rewrites the XML config. And the paths for the XML are also configurable by init params. Yeah, I wrote it there. Okay. So, the obligatory hello world. In order to do hello world in Lucy, you save the following to a file, and the following is hello world, or Apache Coin in this case. If you want something a little bit with more dynamic, hello world would be something like this. So we have the CF output tag, because we want to evaluate the variable here. The CF set actually can be outside, but it's just easier to put it like this, doesn't matter. And in this case, we just call a function here, pass in the function now, so this would evaluate to a low Apache Con 2019. And in CF script, we write it like this, and we use the echo or write output function. In this case, I just concatenated here instead of using putting it in a string. Notable data types. Everything here is kind of notable because there is so much that if I have to put it into one presentation, it will take at least a day or two. So we have the string type, the numeric, Boolean. The more interesting ones are the array, which is it's a bit confusing at first, especially if you know Java or other languages. When I learned it, I already knew Java, but most users of Cold Fusion don't, or CFML. So we define a data type called list, which is just a string. It's a delimited string. And then you can loop over it and do find and replace and operations like that. but it's obviously slower than the array. The array is actually a Java util list. So for people who are familiar with Java, it's sometimes confusing that the list is actually a string and the array is actually a list. We have the struct type, which is a Java util map. It's actually a concurrent hash map, so it's thread safe. And we have an ordered struct, which was added in the last couple of years. That's a little bit of different format, but it maintains order of insertion, which is very useful sometimes. And there is a query data type, which is just a struct of arrays. But it's a complex 2D data type, which is very useful, and that's the object that you get back when you run a database query, for example. The operators, many of them are like in Java or like JSP, so these symbols that you cannot use inside tags, we use GT for greater than, less than, greater than, equals, stuff like that. Ternary, just like Java. Elvis operator, you guys know, you're familiar with the Elvis operator? Okay, so it's a very easy way to check if something is null. If it's not a null value, it's used, the variable is used. If it is a null value, then whatever you pass behind it is used. City stands for contains, not case sensitive. The rest of the things are pretty much as in Java, with the exception of concatenation, because we have the ampersand. And the reason is that because it's dynamically typed, you can put a string value would be 100, and then if you do the string plus 1, then with the plus it will evaluate as a numeric value, it will be 101, but with concatenation, with the ampersand, it will be 1001. So we cannot use it as in Java, which is kind of confusing at first also for Java developers. We have lambda expressions. We took the JavaScript notation or symbol as opposed to the Java one. And the reason is, again, that most of our users use JavaScript. They're familiar with HTML and JavaScript. It's very easy for them to write the same lambda or similar for the front end and the back end. And we use the colon to access static properties like static methods and stuff like that. Flow control, all the standard things that you're familiar with and expect, it works the way you expect it. We have for in. It's actually using the word in, not as in Java with a colon. We have another struct for looping, construct, and that's where you actually can pass either a struct, which again is a map, or an array, or a query, or a list. They all work in the same concept, so once you know one, you know them all. And we can do also things like try, catch, and throw. Built-in scopes, CGI, URL, everything in the query string is broken into a URL variable. So you don't have to parse the query string yourself, it's all parsed for you. Everything that's posted in HTTP post is in the form scope. We have the server scope, which is usually less used than the application. Application scope, you can usually load data into memory and cache it there and reuse it, so you have a very fast lookup. Client scope and session scope, there are different providers, so you can put it in a cache server, like Redis, for example, it will be very fast. By default, actually, the session state is in memory. Client state usually persisted to database. And in tags, you have also attributes. In components, which I'll get to later, you have the disk scope. And in functions, you have the argument scope. But so, the scopes are treated as structs, so you can use them either with the dot notation, like URL dot, if the variable name is Q, if you have in the query string Q equals something, or if the variable name is name, and it's a post operation, a post request, you can also access it. You can access it either way. Usually I would use the dot notation. Obviously, sometimes if you have weird characters that are illegal in identifiers, you can use the, you can use this, which is useful sometimes. Okay. To help with debugging, there is something called the debug template. So I've already set it up here. You can go through the settings and you can see here it's set to yes. So if I'll go and, oh, that's fun. No, because I didn't put the default document.
Oh, no, that's because your Firefox has been updated. Look, it's restart Firefox.
Great, just what you want in the presentation.
It updated your package in your bag, behind your bag. Not kidding, that's what you need.
Okay.
So I'll be.
Does it work now? Okay. So. Now that Firefox, that was not Lucy, that was Firefox for the record, you know, I know it's recorded.
Okay. Yeah.
So, this is a basic index page. Let's actually look, since we're on it, let's look at the source code for it. So it's basic HTML, CFML tags. Again, the year of now, the server.lucy.version, it's a multi-level struct. And below that we have a dump of the CGI scope, which you can see here. So you can see things that you're familiar with, like script name and HTTP user agent and stuff like that. But below that, what I wanted to show you, this is the debug output that I enabled in the admin, and it gives a lot of information about the request, how it was processed, the you can see the different scripts or snippets that were run, how many times they run, the total time, average time, and a lot of other information. CFdump is a very useful construct. It comes also as both as a tag and as a function. Usually in script you use the function. And it takes any type can be dumped. So it's very useful in debugging and troubleshooting, and that's actually what you see here when I did a CF dump of the CGI scope. So very useful with that. Can also do a write, of course, logs and tracing, stuff like that. On my wish list is to implement the GSR 45 specification, which will allow us to implement a line debugger, as you can do in JSP, as we can still need to try it. Okay, application.cfc. By default, any script that is executed belongs to the nearest application.cfc if one exists. The nearest means either in the same directory or in a parent directory. It checks the directories, the parent directories, and whenever it hits an application.cfc, that's the one it's using. And you can define a lot of things there, including lifecycle handlers for the application session request, or define session management, data sources, persistence stores, and things like that. The lifecycles, these two are rather new. You can do certain things only when the server starts or when the web context starts the first time. On application start, on application end, again, for same for session and request. And these functions, not the web and server, because those happen before the application.cfc, but the application session request, those are defined in application.cfc. So actually, I can show you the one that I'm using here in the demo. And you see, for example, I give the application a name, and I enable session management. I define a data source, which is a connection string for Postgres that I can show later. And then I have here, in on application start, I read the file with some passwords that I didn't want to put here in a visible location, and I, which hopefully I'll get to in the demo. Okay, so there's so many tags and so many functions, and at first I started writing them and then it was just ridiculous. But probably the most popular one is CF query, because it makes it extremely easy to run a database query. But you can see things like CF FTP, make an FTP connection, redirectory, upload files, download files, send emails, read emails, file operations, create PDFs, and things like that. Some of the functions, we saw already those. File read, file write. Actually, these use a very nice abstraction, because even though it says file read, it's not limited to the local file system. There is an abstraction of resources. So it can be an HTTP URL inside, or an HTTPS, or an FTP, or an S3. So very easy to just install an extension that we have for Lucy and enable S3 and use those functions to do operations on Amazon AWS S3. Serialized JSON became very popular in recent years. These are some that Chris might like. Encrypt, decrypt. Ash, generate RSA keys. No? I thought you liked this kind of stuff. I don't know. No, well, for you.
I don't know if I generate an RSA key. Just saying.
What if users come to you to get their keys?
So know? If you want to implement a CA and not,
maybe
you can do that.
Maybe.
It's pretty cool that you have all these features, like, for example, JSON support built in, because in Java you don't. So.
If it's much.
Right. So I'll show some demos. Hopefully, I'll get to it. Okay. Some of the newer functions: array each. Array map, if you guys are familiar with map, reduce, filter, so we have things like that. So many of the functions are also implemented as methods. So let's say you have an object that's called some array, and it's of an array type. You can call the function and add an element, append an element to it, but you can also use it as a method, so it's some array that append elements. And you can add your own built-in functions. I put it in quotes, because obviously if you add your own, it's not built-in, but they'll behave in that way, which is different from the user-defined functions that I'll get to in a bit. Components. So we call them CFCs, Code Fusion Components. The file extension is .cfc. And these are more like Java classes. They have two built-in scopes. One is the variable scope, which has a private access modifier, and the this, which is kind of, wasn't our choice, but that's the way it was implemented in CodeFusion, as public access modifier. There is an implicit constructor in the body. When we say body, we mean anything that's not inside a function. So if it's in the file itself, inside the component tag, but not inside a function, it's evaluated at first, and it's an implicit constructor, and then we also have an explicit constructor, which is the function init, where you can pass arguments and things like that. Custom tags, there are different ways to do it. You can do it in CFML or in Java. In CFML, there are two ways to do it. A simple one, where you can add an underscore. It's a very simple file, very easy to do templating with it. The more advanced one is to implement the lifecycle events, or at least the ones that it wants to handle. In CFML custom tags, you get an attribute scope that you don't have in the other ones. Or you can define your own custom tags in Java, you will have to add a TLD descriptor, because again, it's a JSP servlet. And you actually do have to implement the JavaX servlet JSP tagX tag, but we have a base class that you can just extend, and it's very easy. You don't need to do the whole thing. User-defined functions, that looks simple enough, right? Everybody understands it? There is a built-in cache support. So for example, let's say that you have an operation that will now run a query, it will take a minute, or maybe it will do some network operations or whatever. And a lot of heavy calculations. So you can just add this attribute to the function, cached within, in this case, I define a time span of, this is days, hours, minutes, and seconds, so this is 10 minutes. And whenever this function will be called with the same argument, as long as it's the same argument, we'll use the cache. So the first time it will take, let's say, the 2 minutes that it takes, and then for the next 10 minutes, until that cache expires, it will return immediately with the result. So it's a very, very cool way to do powerful things fast. User-defined functions are first-class citizens. Are you guys familiar with that term? It's the same as in JavaScript. It means that you can, instead of writing like we did here, instead of writing function and then the function name, we can actually write the variable and assign the variable that function. And now the variable is a pointer to the function code. We support lambdas. So this is very similar, just it multiplies by 4 instead of by 3. And there are higher order functions, which means that you can take a function as an arg, as an argument to another function, and then invoke it. So in this case, actually, let's see it here, putting it together. So what we're doing here is we're calling F5, and F5 takes F4, which multiplies by 4, and we pass 7 as an argument, so the result will be 28. But as we like to say, just because you can do it doesn't mean you should, because this is definitely not a good example for this. It's just, it's very powerful. It's kind of like showing off. It is very useful, though, when you want to use a MapReduce functionality or filter functionality, because then you can just have code reuse. You write your code once, and the function that you pass as an argument will do whatever the implementation requires. Localization, internationalization, very, very long words. We have built-in support, get local, set local, get time zone, set time zone. We can parse and format according to those. RESTful services. We support also, so forgot to highlight this, but in general, you need to define it first in the admin, and then you can define here the REST path and the REST path for the function. So for example, this one will be called at /REST/V1, which is what I define the admin, /this/dev/projects. And this one will take an argument, so you can use like Tomcat or Kafka or whatever you want in it, and it will process this one. And I have examples. I don't know if I'll reach all of them, but I'm okay. I have 10 minutes, I think.
Oh, yeah, a bit more. 15.
Go. Java integration. Okay, so I'll speak slower now. I can. Java integration. So, thanks to the fact that Lucy is written in Java and running in a JVM, we can access everything that the JVM provides. So in this CF script syntax, I show a way of creating a Java object of a type string and then taking the case insensitive order comparator from it and passing it into a tree map and having a case insensitive map, for example, which is not really required because the struct would do it already, but I wasn't very creative due to lack of sleep. Resolution goes through reflection. I would like at some point to change it to method endless, as I mentioned earlier. Mentioned offline, not in the presentation. But method endless are much faster, but right now it's still via reflection. So anything, any property that is not defined in the Lucy code is inspected via reflection, and if it exists, then we evaluate it. So for example, this goes to the Java object that, .get class and will return, in this case, it would be some, actually, it's something that we have internally that uses a concurrent hash map, but it extends it a little bit. You can use Java cast built-in function to do typecasting, because let's say, for example, if you set a numeric value, by default it's a Java length double. So if you have a function, if you have a method in Java that accepts maybe both a double or an integer and does something different, you have to cast it if you want it to go to the right one. So you can use the Java cast function for that. Null support is something that was added later, so originally we didn't have null support. We would just check if something is defined or not. Now it's possible to just use null if you configure it, if you change the settings for it. And of course there is you can do advanced Java integration, because everything is written in Java and it's open source. So these are some resources. And I'd like to do a demo a little bit before, to show you code. It's not going to be really live coding, but show you some code and how it runs. And maybe we'll have time for questions. So we saw this application.cfc. It defines a couple of things. It defines the mail server here and a data source called ACNA 19, which are the main things here. So as I mentioned, we can do FTP out of the box. So for example, you can see what I highlight and things. You can see the cursor. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I can also, I guess, make it. So I provide the key to a path to my SSH key. Okay, I define a host name, people.apache.org. I define here a default, so if no URL.user is passed, it will use my username. And then I did there something that try and catch is, it's not required as in Java, but if you get an error, obviously you don't want to get an error, so you do your own, you would do the error handling, but it's not required by the code. So here I just open a connection to the host name. I pass my username and the SSH key, and let's see how it works. So this is ftp.cfm. And it takes a little bit of time because it makes the network connection and everything. And actually, I break it there. I do a dump and I break it, but you can see succeeded through an error code 0, which is good. So let's actually not break it here. So let me comment out this. And now I will do a list directory for the past URL.user, which again, the default is my username, and the public _HTML directory. So if I reload this, again, it does the FTP connection and everything. And you can see here, this is what I have in my public HTML. And if you want to see, for example, Chris's there, we can change, it's public. Then you can see the directory, okay? So that was FTP. Let's see what else I have. So, let me do the RSA one. maybe you will decide to do it. It's actually not for you, you know, it's for everybody but you. That's what I should have said. Because you know how to do these things. You know, for other people it's not as easy. So here what I'm going to do, first thing, I'm going to call a function that's called built-in function, generate RSA keys. It will give me back a struct, which I called here RSA pair. And let me try that. And the pair has two keys, private and public. So let's take a message and encrypt it. And after we encrypt it, we'll dump the encrypted value, and then we will decrypt it and dump the decrypted value. I don't have a lot of time, so I don't want to break each time, you know. And then we want to make sure that the decrypted value is the same as the original message, otherwise this, right? So let's do that. And it reload.
Did you save?
I did not save. This is when I'm grateful for not doing live coding. So, as you can see, the encrypted message is this, and then the decrypted is the same as the original message, and we got here, after the comparison, we got the message that says decrypted successfully. So, these are things that usually would take much longer to do with other technologies. Mm-hmm. We have a couple more minutes? Okay, great. So, just because I'm not sure we'll have enough time, let's do this one now. So this one is a bit more complex. First of all, I'm running a CF query, so I'm hitting the local Postgres database that I have running on my machine. I'm passing in this query. So let's go first of all and pass that in. Let me open a new, because I don't know version. Okay. Paste it here and run it. Okay. So this gives us, for each project ID, the user ID, these are the Apache projects, the name of the committer, and the date since it was granted the committer status. And what I did here is, so I run this. When you don't specify any data source, it uses the default one, which I defined in the application.cfc, as you might remember.
I was looking at the data source.
Yeah, it's here.
Okay.
So, because you only have to define it once, right? I mean, if you have multiple, you can define multiple, and then you specify which one. But in this case, I defined it as the default. And
so any query you made, it will use the same data source. Right, the default data.
Yes, if you don't specify, it's the same, yeah. So, let's see what this gives us. So I will do a dump and abort. So this is the query, and again, this is CF dump. So whatever object it has in memory, it knows how to render it in a somewhat readable way that really helps debugging. If it's something that happens in the background, because you have full multi-threading operations, I didn't even put it in a slide, even though it probably is worth a slide. If it happens in a separate, in a background thread, then usually what you want to do is maybe save it to a file or log information and things like that. But when it is with the current thread of the request, just send to the response stream. So this is pretty much what we saw with the dbeaver. Let's go back to the code and uncomment and not break it now, not stop it. And now, what I did here is I created a PDF document. I specify margins. I specify that the header of the document. One second, it's. In the header of each page, I will have an image, which comes from also the local Tomcat. Define a little bit of styles with CSS. And then the body of the PDF is created with HTML and CSS. Okay? Now, the query brings us, let's look at the query output again real quick. So, you have the same project ID running many times, and it's ordered by project ID. So, in the CF loop here, I iterate over the query object, and I group it by project ID. That means that I have an inner loop here, and as long as that key is the same, it will run the group by. So you'll see in a second. I can see some faces that are like, I know it's easier to see it. So anyway, it's looping over the query for each project. Each time a project changes, it outputs this H3 with a project ID, and then it outputs all the names of the committers, and it puts just like a mid dot in between. So, I don't think it makes sense actually to dump it. Oh, yeah, let's do that. So let's do a dump and break and see what we get there. So what we get is a byte array with a lot of binary data. And now we can take that and I'm checking if there is a URL key named mail2. And if there is mail2, actually if there is no mail2, I'm running this. I do a reset for the content, for the output stream, sending a MIME type of application PDF, and sending the variable that was stored with that binary data. Let's see what that looks like. This is a PDF with 66 pages. Each page has the header with the Apache logo, the information that we have there. Actually, if I'll go down to Tomcat, then you can see here the Tomcat members. It's sorted by first name for a change, you see? So, and if you recall, I'm checking if there is a URL mail2. These comments, obviously, you can ignore. But if there is a mail2, I'm checking if it's a valid email. And if it is, then I'm creating an email message, sending it to that address, and attaching the report. So if I'll go here and I'll put mail to my email address. Now, usually when you send emails, you send them asynchronously, so they go in a different thread, they're spooled and they go afterwards. I did it on purpose synchronous, so it took longer. But it tells me the report was sent to my email, and if I'll open this at this tab and it reload here on my email, this was just sent from Lucy. And if I open the so if I have a couple more minutes I can show the rest, but restful, but if not it's fine also. Yeah. I'm done? I'm good? 1 minute, so I'll actually leave it for questions. No questions? Question, yes, sir. The gentleman, the tall gentleman.
Hi, my name is Chris.
Yes.
On one of your very early slides,
yes,
you said step one to install was to drop the Lucy jar file into Tomcat's lib directory.
Katerina base, yeah, anywhere, yeah. Where Tomcat will pick it up, yes.
Is there a particular reason why you would do that rather than bundling it just with the application?
Define, what do you mean define?
Like put it in your WAR file under web info.
Oh, if you deploy as WAR, you can do that, yeah, sure.
Okay, do you get a benefit from having it at the server level instead of within a specific application?
I don't deploy as WAR in general. I don't see a good use for it.
Okay.
So This way it's easier for me to fix things fast, you know, without worrying about the full deployment. So. Anyone else? Yes?
Your Lucy.jar, does it bundle dependencies inside it?
Okay, so there are two options. Actually, let me go there because it's a link in the presentation. So there are different ways. And there is the Lucy.jar, which is the fat jar. It's about 60 megs. And there is without extensions, which is about 8 megs. And without extensions, you can choose only the extensions that you want. So, for example, PDF is an extension. If you're going to use PDF, you can either add your own extension, and it's very easy actually to install, to add and remove extensions. If I'll go here to the admin, then extensions. So these are the extensions that are installed. MySQL, Postgres, SQL Server, it actually tells you that there is an update if you want to update it. Image extension for image processing, at least for the advanced features. I think for that, that comes pre-installed, so that's fine. And then there are additional ones that are not installed by default. Teradata, SAP, Log Analyzer, and you can, of course, can create your own extensions. A WebSocket extension, which I actually wrote. So, yes?
You talk about what's available and what you can do, but I'm curious about how it actually works. When you translate a
sure.
CFM page
excellent
into
question.
Something that actually runs, is it being interpreted each time, or are you
no.
doing the JSP model where you generate Java code and then compile it?
So we compile it the first... Okay. So when there is a request, we resolve, of course, what needs to be processed. We check to see if there is already a pre-compiled version of it. Once we find a pre-compiled version, we check the timestamp and some hash to make sure that it's up to date. If it's not up to date, we recompile on the fly. Because anything I can do now, I can change something, and it will do it immediately. You don't have to... if I'll go here to the index, for example, and reload that page, there is no... Oh, it's up here. It's immediate. You know, everything is transparent for the user. All of the files are compiled into a subdirectory here. Let me show you. So these are default paths, but again, they're configurable via init params of the servlet. And in webinf, there is a directory called cf classes. And then if I want, for example, the one that's called index.cfm, it would be, should be here. And this is the index.cfm. And this is the Java code when it's decompiled by IntelliJ IDEA.
Okay, so you do generate Java and
yes.
compile a class.
Yes, it's compiled by ASM.
Okay. And you write into the...
And there are different options. You can... I'm sorry to interrupt one second. So in the admin, you can define if you want it to check all the time the timestamps or not. Because if you know the code doesn't change, then you can... You can tell it to never check again. Once it knows that it's there, it doesn't check again. You save a few cycles of CPU because there's no need to check the file system. Yes. Oh. So, I'm available offline for further questions. Thank you very much.